couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kong.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've got a great show for you this week.
We have an awesome show for you this week. We're going to offend people. We're going to, like, make friends. We're going to go see movies and talk about movies. We're going to have a child on the show again because Neil hasn't seen anything.
Wait, we're going to have another child besides myself on the show? That's awesome.
There is no child the size of yourself.
Unless you're talking about myself.
Oh, besides yourself.
Yeah.
No, there'll be my son is going to come on later. He was there last week to review Earth with his brother, and we're going to review Wolverine later. But not right now.
Right, not right now. Right now, no. We're going to tell you where you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysofthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys of the Movies. We pop right up. You can email us, fatguysoffilmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And a special thanks goes out to Jeff, who left us a voicemail this week.
Yes, yes.
Very excited.
You want to go ahead and play that?
Sure, man. Whatever works for you.
We'll play it right now.
Hi, this is for Neil and Kevin. This is Jeff from Sierra Madre, one of your loyal listeners and fans. Seeing that you haven't had any calls for over a month, I thought I would call up while I'm listening to your show once again and listening to Neil completely rag on Kevin, when I thought it was usually the other way around. Kevin, you're letting Neil get the better of you. I'm very disappointed. Nonetheless, it's a great show as always, and I'm looking forward to seeing if you guys agree with my observations on Wolverine. So looking forward to hearing you next week. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
And so there you have it, Jeff. Thinks that I'm getting the better of Kevin, which
is
appropriate.
No, I didn't think he was saying getting the better. You just thought that you were being mean to me. And I was trying to be diplomatic and nice because we had children in the magical studio in the sky last week.
Fair enough. But I also have a special announcement before we get
into... You're an idiot, Neil Miller.
Fair enough.
There, is that better, Jeff?
Before we get into reviewing Battle for Terra, which is our first movie of the week, I would like to just say that Kevin Carr has officially crossed over into the world of Web 2.0. He has signed up for Twitter.
Well, you know what's funny is I actually had signed up for Twitter, I think, like when you were like tweeting out or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I signed up for one, or somebody sent me a request, and it's been sitting there for like a year and a half, or however
right.
long Twitter has been around. And every now and then I get, hey, somebody's following you on Twitter, which... there's nothing to follow because I was never updating it. Mm-hmm. And this morning I got up and like, because I was supposed to be on TV and then they moved the segment. So I like had like a half hour to kill before I had to get ready. So I'm like, heck, I'll just sign up for it.
Right. And so if you'd like to follow him, it's twitter.com/Kevin Carr, Carr. Yes.
And this will be unlike my Facebook, which has a fat guy Facebook. This is now I stuck with the Kevin Carr.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be the fat guy, Kevin Carr. So, you know, if you sign up and I say something, you know, embarrassing or annoying or offensive, you've been warned.
You were asking for it by signing up. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't see any reason. Yeah. Anyways.
So I'll let you know. I'll tweet out when there's boobs in a movie or something like that.
Right. Well, you can also, this is the one thing I like about Twitter, is that you can tweet your reactions to films like instantly. You know, like we have some bad news about Wolverine later in the show about our ability to see it early enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, people could go onto Twitter and get our instant reactions to
Wolverine.
Well,
there are people, like there's a box office guy I read named Steve Mason, who he is like all about the Twitterati. And he's toned down his Twittering on his blog, but he used to be like, oh yeah, the Twitters are saying this and they're saying this. And pretty much he's saying, well, that's what they're saying, so this is how the movie's going to do.
Right. Yeah. And I remember... I've had some infamous tweets, like when we saw Star Trek, I was tweeting about it. I wasn't tweeting through a movie.
I was about to say,
etiquette says that if you tweet through a movie, you should be burned at the stake.
Well,
so,
unless you're the only one in the theater.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're the only one in the theater, you could take your pants off and no one would notice. So it's a similar situation.
You know what? Actually, you could take your pants off even if you're not the only person in the theater, because unless somebody's like down the aisle from you, they're a couple rows back or a couple rows that you could. There's a lot you can get away with in a movie theater.
This is true. There's a lot that I've gotten away with in my life in a movie theater.
From personal experience, there is a lot you can get away with in a movie theater. That is all I will say on that subject.
Cool, man.
Well, let's move on to Battle for Terra.
Sure, why not?
A race of aliens on another planet faces an invasion force of humans who need their planet to survive.
It has begun.
But if Earth Force invades, they'll destroy all life on this world, including me.
Oh, dear.
There's gotta be another way.
I believe in our darkest hour, the very qualities which made us great will make us strong.
Your actions over the next few hours will either win ourselves a new home or doom us to extinction.
Now, you didn't see this one, correct?
No, I didn't, but I'm so excited about it, I might go see it on Friday afternoon.
Seriously?
Well, here's what I like. I like the new string of science fiction movies in which humans are the aggressor. Battle for Terra, Avatar, Planet 51, this resurgence of humans as large douchebags of the universe.
Oh, okay.
And to me, that's pretty cool. So I'm ready, man. Even if it's a kid's movie, I'm ready to see some humans be the bad guy.
Well, you know what? It's not exactly a kid's movie. I mean, it's I was dreading this movie because, first of all, the Battle for Terra, and it was leading up to Earth Day, and I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be a big preachy mess. This is going to be like an Inconvenient Truth, the movie. But it's not.
The animated action movie version of Inconvenient Truth.
It's not, because it's told from the point of view of these creatures on this planet, and suddenly there's this big ship in the sky, and it comes down, and it happens to be humans. That's the thing. So it's, and what it is it's what happens whenever you have any two cultures historically. Two cultures clash, and they both want the same resources, and it's an ugly result. And it also kind of shows it's this peaceful community and this peaceful world, which, you know, peace, love, and happiness is not going to help defend you from outside aggression.
Right.
And so it kind of makes a case for the reason why you actually need a military, as not just to go out and conquer, but to protect yourself. And it shows that, you know, both groups of people may need something. It's way deeper than you'd ever think it would be from the trailers. And does it get preachy? Yes, sure. Does it have, you know, sort of like this political bent to it? Yes. If you want to go in and say, well, it's trying to, you know, indoctrinate people and trying to hit kids, sure. But, you know, so does Saturday morning cartoons. And this one I thought was told incredibly smartly, and the voice cast is pretty good, and the animation is neat, and it's awesome in 3D for all the battle sequences, because it does have battle sequences with the name.
Now is it gimmicky 3D, or is it like better?
No. It's better. In fact, recently 3D movies, they really haven't gone for the gimmicks. There was like one gimmick in Coraline.
Oh yeah, I was really impressed with Coraline.
Yeah, and there was one gimmick in Monsters vs. Aliens, and that's it. Everything else is just a well-made movie, and they just enhance it with 3D.
Nice.
You know, and in fact, I was talking, we'll talk about this later as to why I knew this, but I was talking with a rep from Disney about Up and asking her, I'm like, well, you know, are we going to have more movies in 3D? And she's basically, oh yeah, it's like a way at the top of the list type thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, despite the fact being 3D.
Despite the fact that I'm not a big fan of the 3D revolution. I think everybody's just got 3D. Way too big of a hard on for 3D, and I think IMAX should be a bigger focus. IMAX and digital. There's some really cool 3D movies coming out.
Well, but digital, you got to see the 3D in digital anyways. And the other thing is, 3D is the only thing aside from IMAX being bigger. 3D is the only thing that you actually need to go to the theater for, is to see it in real D. You got to go to the theater. You can't wait till home video. You can't even like get it on Blu-ray HD and that kind of stuff.
Nice. Cool. So what's your rating on Battle for Terra?
Oh, I thought it rocked.
And with that, we're going to a break. And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies. We're moving on through.
We're moving on up.
From the Battle for Terra to the Battle of the Mutants, I guess, with Wolverine.
with the battle between mutants and Matthew McConaughey.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. That's kind of convoluted. But, anywho.
Thank you for the judgment, sir.
Our next movie is Wolverine.
No, I don't think so. Let's move on.
We have some bad news when it comes to Wolverine. They are screening it for critics. Unfortunately, they're waiting to the last possible moment to screen it for critics. Therefore,
literally
for
like
the purposes,
4 or 5 hours before you could go see the midnight show.
Right. So, unfortunately for us, we're not going to be able to review it in our normal fashion. And we're going to, I'm sure, disappoint Jeff because we can't make comments about what he thought.
Yeah.
Versus what we thought.
Although what's funny is they did show it at the junket, and they showed it to select press, because if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, there's already print press that have seen it.
They screened it. They screened it like three times to LA press.
For the important people.
But you know what? No worries. We're cool. We're good. We've come up with an alternate solution.
Yep. So let's introduce Wolverine. Here's the clip. Wolverine, X-Men Origins, Hugh Jackman is back as the man with the claws in this origin story of his X-Men superhero, Wolverine.
Putting together a special team. Become the Animal. Embrace the other side. I think he heard you.
Do you even know how to kill me? I'm gonna cut your head off. See if that works.
Our special guest reviewer today for Wolverine is Liam Carr. We heard him last week talking about Earth, but he got a chance to see Wolverine and at the Midnight Show. What did you think of it, Liam?
It was cool, but it was kind of dramatic, kind of disgusting.
Why was it disgusting?
They had too much kissing.
Too much kissing. The fact that people's heads were cut off and people getting stabbed with animantium blades wasn't a problem.
Yeah, that wasn't a problem. That was cool.
Okay. So was the action okay? Did you enjoy the action? Speaking as a kid, as somebody who's going to see the movie for the big summer blockbuster type thing, what did you think of it? Did you think it lived up to its expectations?
I don't think lots of kids would like this because it might be scary for some of them because it's PG-13.
Okay, but you liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you recommend this to people?
Kind of.
What's your official grade for this? Rocks or what?
Kind of rocks.
Just kind of rocks. Okay. You know, I actually have to agree. I thought it was I thought for the summer blockbuster, for a big summer movie, I thought it delivered. But you know, it had some goofy lines, right? And it had some silly things. The story wasn't as strong. You haven't seen the other X-Men movie. We'll show those to you sometime. But you know, for the beginning of the summer season, you know, you could do a lot worse, right?
Yeah.
Did you like it better or worse than Iron Man?
Better.
You liked it better than Iron Man. Iron Man, you got kind of bored in that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, real quick, what did you think? Give me your official grade for Battle of Terror, because I know you saw that too.
Kind of suckish.
You kind of. I thought you liked Battle for Terror in 3D.
Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. Okay. Well, you know it's late, so. But Liam, thank you for coming on the show. And my official Fat Guy's grade is that Wolverine kind of rocks. I enjoyed myself, but it wasn't as good as the other movies. Okay. Well, so there you go. You've got the expert's opinion. Thank you, Liam, for being on the show. And, you know, a shorter
And obviously,
version.
When he says expert, he means Liam.
Liam, he's
the expert.
He's an expert. Dude, he's seen... I even asked
You're
him
not
about,
the expert, though.
I even asked him about Battle for Terra, and he's seen that. He's seen more movies this week than you have. Again.
It's not my fault.
It is
well,
your
maybe
fault.
It is.
It's totally
All
is
right,
your
fine,
fault.
It is.
Anyways.
Whatever.
But let's go to a movie that he hasn't seen, so I can talk about it. You still haven't seen it, so this is me, uh-huh. Jeff. Here's me making fun of Neil, because, you know, worst critic in America, because he can't actually watch the movies. Doesn't bother to see him, because he's...
It's not important.
It's not important to you. You're too busy Twittering yourself. And by that...
I already saw Star Trek. Next week, I'll be back on my schedule of seeing movies regularly.
I'm seeing Star Trek this weekend, dude, so I'll still be on par with you. And are you going to see Next Day Air? Next Day Air is next week. Are you going to see that?
I don't know, man. That's not important.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll be two movies I'll see.
Whatever.
And guess who's going to also see Star Trek next week?
What?
Or actually this weekend. Liam. So...
Yeah, but I've already seen it.
Well, whatever. Anyways, let's move on. We're going to talk about Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, and this one stars Matthew McConaughey as a womanizer, Matthew McConaughey, where he gets the Ebenezer Scrooge treatment when he attends his brother's wedding and faces some old flames.
If you do anything to detract from her wedding, I will sneak into your room in the middle of the night and cut off your favorite appendage.
Now, the first part sounds nice.
I'm here to warn you, kid. Tonight, you're going to be visited by three ghosts. Whatever happens to you tonight is for your own good.
Now we're talking.
Hi, Connor!
Whoa!
Who are you?
Oh, I'm like the ghost of girlfriend's past. I could tickle a little bit. I'm going to take you back through all your past girlfriends.
For those of you who don't realize how Hollywood works, one of the big rules in Hollywood is counter-programming. Last year, when they had a very successful thing when Iron Man was out, came out that weekend, they did Maid of Honor, which was a terrible movie, but it starred Patrick Dempsey and Michelle Monaghan. It did very well in counter-programming. The year before, they had Lucky You going up against Spider-Man 3, so that sort of failed miserably. But this year, it's Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. And you know what? It's directed by Mark Waters, who did like Freaky Friday and Mean Girls. You know, so he's got a little bit of a decent pedigree for sort of that light kind of chick flick date movie. And if you like those
movies. Or Lindsay Lohan movies.
Well, she's not in this movie. And that's okay.
See, that's probably the problem.
We don't need Lindsay Lohan in this movie.
Fair enough.
It's cute. I will say it's cute. And they actually do kind of play homage to the whole Ebenezer Scrooge, because Michael Douglas plays the his Marley character, who comes back to say, well, I didn't live my life right, so now you have to see why, because you're a womanizer and you really love Jennifer Garner. And but really the key to this, even though Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner drew a blank there, even though they do decent jobs, the real key to the movie are, in a lot of comedies like this, the supporting cast. Because Michael Douglas is hilarious as his uncle, who was a big womanizer, who kind of taught him everything he knows. And but who really steals the show in every scene she's in, she's only in like a little bit of the movie, is Emma Stone. As the
Emma Stone is awesome.
She is hilarious as the first girl that he had sex with. And of course that's the ghost of girlfriend's past. And then but she is hilarious. She has such a knack for comedy, and she totally just sucks away all the attention from everybody else in the movie, including Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner when she's on screen. She's great.
That's pretty impressive, man.
Absolutely, man.
I like a little Emma Stone in my week.
What's so great about Emma Stone is she is pretty, but she's also a bit dorky in the process. So she can do both. She can play the girl that somebody's infatuated with, like she did in Superbad. She was in Superbad, wasn't she? As the and then she can also play kind of the little more alternative or geeky or less popular girl, like she did in The Rocker. You know, so she's great. And but this one's cute. I mean, for counter programming, this is going to work. I mean, you got to have guys flocking to see X-Men. I think X-Men's going to do incredibly well, because good Lord, if Fast and Furious can make $72 million, X-Men's got to make at least $380 million this weekend. And then the women are going to go see Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. I may have overestimated that a little bit.
I don't even know what to tell you on that. Like, that's a terrible prediction. Like, that's not even close.
$380 million. Come on.
But here's what I do know.
Totally easy.
Wolverine looks a little silly, but probably, I mean, let's face it, it's an action movie. It's a mutant movie. It can't be any worse than X-Men 3. It just can't.
I liked X-Men 3.
And exactly. My point exactly.
Yeah, whatever. You don't know a good movie if it came and bit you in the butt. I'm not saying that X-Men 3 was a great movie, but I liked it.
But Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, even though it looks awful,
Did you like turn into a Valley Girl there? You're like, even though it looks awful, oh my God. OMG.
It's still, you know what? It's still going to make some money.
Oh, it's going to do serious bank. Because the thing is, it is about counter-programming. They've proved over and over again that you can take two movies that are very different audiences and release them, and they can both do incredibly well. And here's the other thing with Ghosts, and Ghosts is actually pretty decent. Of the three sort of like lead-in summer movies that are counter-programming, Lucky You, Maid of Honor, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, this is way better than those other two. And right now it's proving that my prediction before, the economy's the movies are recession proof, so people are going to be going to that instead of doing, you know, concerts and the theater and Broadway shows. So they're going to the $10 movies, and it's just going to just bring in the cash.
Nice. So what's your official grade on Ghost of Girlfriend's Past?
It kind of rocks. I mean, for the audience.
It rocks, he says.
Yeah, it kind of rocks. Nice. Yeah.
Well, it's about time to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the box office. We're going to talk about Kevin Carr literally flying away. And we've got a very special summer movie Fat Guy 5 for you.
Yes. So stay tuned. Don't miss it.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Here we are in our middle segment where we're going to talk a little bit about the box office and some other sundry developments. But first of all, let's talk about last week's box office. You were wrong, Neil, I'd like to point out.
Oh, I was totally wrong. Yes. But you know what? I'm willing to accept the fact that I was wrong about last week's box office because I see in our show notes that you're going to give us a politically incorrect yet possibly very accurate reason why Obsessed won the box office, and I will shut up for that.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, let's review what we were all saying about the box office last week.
I don't think it's... No, let's just forget
that. You were saying you were saying 17 again was going to win. And then you were also predicted a big show from Fighting, and both of them did well, but even combined, they didn't make the box office that Obsessed did. And I predicted The Soloist...
It's because of Beyonce's Badonkadonk. Okay.
Yeah, her Beyonkadonk. I said The Soloist was going to win, and I was wrong, but at the time, I hadn't seen Obsessed. Now, here's the deal, and this is the thing. I'm warning you, this is politically incorrect. So get the emails ready and start aflaming people, because... Here's the deal. I went and saw Obsessed, and you got to realize the movie's produced by Beyonce and Magic Johnson. It stars
Magic
Beyonce.
Magic Johnson was involved in this movie? Why didn't I go see this?
He produced it, man. And you know what? Nobody got AIDS from watching it, so there you go. But
see, you're starting off on the wrong foot.
Already politically incorrect. There we go, baby. But no, it stars Beyonce and
Idris Elba.
Addis Ababa. Isn't that what the... That's where the kryptonite is from.
Idris Elba,
which I don't know why is he even a star? He's like...
Yeah, he's on The Office.
He's on The Office? And isn't he on, like, he's on another show. He was on another, whatever. But
he's on everything.
Beyonce's a way bigger star than he is. And this movie was not good. It was a weak version of Fatal Attraction. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, and it stars Beyonce, it has... And here's where it goes into the politically incorrect part. But I went and saw this movie, and it was an audience, and it wasn't just an audience that was filled with African Americans. It was a lot of African American women.
Uh-huh.
And it's what I would consider the Tyler Perry factor. It spoke to the African American woman audience. And that is part of the reason why Tyler Perry's movies do so well, because he's got that really strong audience of... He's got a real strong audience of African-American Christian women that just love, love, love his movies. And I think it spoke to the same audience because it was hysterical. I'm sitting and I was surrounded by women, and they were there with their girlfriends and all that kind of thing. Not a whole lot of guys here. And they were enraged at the white girl trying to steal the black guy from the black woman. I mean, I was hearing comments being made all through it about no, she didn't. And no, that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like... And I'm realizing, I'm like going, oh, this goes farther than just stealing your man. It's because what's funny is they had a trailer for Dance Flick in front of this, and which is a Wayans Brothers movie. And there's a joke in there because one of the Wayans Brothers, they keep popping them out. They keep showing up. It's like, you know, Keenan Ivory Wayans is like 80 years old, and they've got still little Wayans Brothers coming up. So it's one of the little Wayans Brothers who's in this movie, and he's with... And it's sort of a step up kind of spoof, and he's with this with this white girl, and he's like about to kiss her, and then a black girl walks by in the trailer, and he's like, "Oh!" And he's like pretending that he wasn't going to kiss the white girl.
Oh, I see.
The audience broke up laughing because there is a cultural thing where a lot of black women get upset when they see a white woman dating a black guy dating a white woman. That's a cultural thing, and that's, I think, part of the reason what fueled this, because it's a movie where the white girl's trying to steal the black guy from the black girl, and then the black girl kicks the holy crap out of her.
Does Beyonce kick some ass in that movie?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's part of the problem why it's bad, is like, at least like Fatal Attraction, he's getting... Oh, and two other things with it. But so in Fatal Attraction, he's actually... it's him against Glenn Close. It's the and then Ann Archer's character is kind of in on the wings of this, and they kind of set it up with Beyonce as sort of the secondary character. But of course, when the big smackdown happens, it's woman against woman. That's why I'm saying it's awesome. it's going for the woman, and specifically the black woman audience. But it also, you know, any woman's going to identify with the vixen trying to steal her husband. But here's the other thing they did in the movie, which is so typical of something I've seen in Tyler Perry's movies, is he goes in. He doesn't actually have sex with her. He doesn't have an affair, and she just doesn't believe him and kicks him out of the house for like 3 months because, you know, he was flirting with her and maybe kissed her at the office, and she like literally kicks him to the curb. And then the guy, like, when the big smackdown happens, he's driving to get to the house, and he gets to the house after everything's over. And I'm like, well, wait, he was completely emasculated by both women. And he's kind of pointless, which is totally what happens in Tyler Perry's movies. It's all about woman power, and the men's get emasculated. So it fits completely into the sort of the psychology of a Tyler Perry movie. That is why it did so well. Offended
all
yet?
All right. And and since we've wasted about 6 minutes on this already.
Hey.
Let's just predict how much Wolverine's going to make this week.
Okay, I'm going to say $80 million.
I'll be right there with you, like 85. I'm thinking 85. It's pretty powerful. Hugh Jackman's, you know, he's a name.
I'm seeing people predict in the 90s, but I think it's going to do well. But although, you know, I never thought that. I mean, literally, Fast and Furious made twice as much as I even thought it would make on the highest. So Wolverine could be making 120 million for all I know.
That's true. So. All right, cool. Well, let's move on.
Okay.
I think we've talked enough about the box office.
Yeah.
And tell us what you did this week, Kevin.
This week, I had a chance to go down for a promotion for the movie Up, Disney Pixar's Up. I had a chance to ride in a balloon chair. They have the chair from Up. They made an exact replica of the chair that Carl Fredrickson sits in, and they attached a ton of helium balloons to it, and they literally floated me 40 feet off the ground.
40 feet off the ground?
40 feet off the ground in U.S. Bank Arena.
How many balloons does it take to get Kevin Carr 40 feet off the ground?
Well, there's a lot. What's funny is I was interviewing the Disney rep before, and she's like, well, how much can it hold? She goes, well, it can hold 220 pounds. And I'm like, 230 some. So is that going to be? And she's going, oh, no, I meant 440. I'm like, did you really make a mistake? Or are you just like, no, it'll hold you. Seriously. No, but it was really awesome because it was a great way to sort of like bring attention to it. And I've got a video of it that's going to, it'll show up sometime next week on Fat Guys at the Movies. And you can probably put it up. I don't know if you're going to put it up through the Film School Rejects video log. And there'll be a story on Film School Rejects with video and pictures.
I can't wait, man.
We are
putting that up like the minute it's done.
It is so awesome. And I'm so excited for this movie because, and then like, literally when I asked how many, I said, is this enough to raise a house? And she's like, well, you need to actually have like 1,092 balloons. She like quoted how many balloons.
They figured it out?
Pixar figured out how many balloons you need to float a house.
That's pretty awesome. Pixar guys, they're so detail-oriented.
Awesome. They're awesome. And I wore a Hawaiian shirt in honor of John Lasseter when I did it.
Oh, nice. Good for you. All right, cool. So stay tuned to Film School Rejects and FatGuysTheMovies.com, and we'll have more about that. Moving on, time for our very special summer movie, Fat Guy 5, in which we give you our 5 most anticipated movies of the summer. These are the movies that you absolutely need to see. We don't even care what our reviews are later.
Yes.
So I'll start with number 5. Number 5 is Terminator Salvation from director McGee with Christian Bale as John Connor. I'm super excited for this. There's just a lot of stuff blowing up in this one, and I'm ready for it.
You're just into robots blowing things up this summer, aren't you?
Indeed I am. It's going to be that kind of summer.
I'm excited for Terminator just because I want to see Christian Bale yell at people.
Right. Yes. He was very angry on the set of this movie.
He's always angry.
I'm hoping that translates into his performance.
Speaking of angry, something that's not angry at all is number 4, which is Up, which we just talked about. But it's Pixar, and it's also the first Pixar movie ever made in 3D. It's the 10th Pixar movie.
I can't wait, man.
It's
directed by Pete Docter, who did Monsters, Inc.,
yes,
which I thought was one of their better movies.
Well, so. And it's not like you can sit there and say it's directed by anyone from Pixar because they all make awesome movies.
Well, that's true.
So I'll do the next one since this was kind of my suggestion. Bruno, even though you want to see it too. Bruno
looks
absolutely hilarious simply because he gets people to do the wackiest, goofiest, stupidest things. And if you haven't seen the trailer and the clips that are online, you need to go see them because they will make you laugh so hard you will pee your pants.
And in this movie, so I'm told, so the rumors go, he got both Paula Abdul, mm-hmm. he duped her, and Ron Paul, the politician.
Yeah,
so that should be pretty entertaining.
Well, yeah, because he came in, because everyone's like, oh, well, everyone will recognize him because he had the TV show. He just changed his look.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he just put on a different character.
Yeah, so exactly.
That should be fun.
Very nice. Sorry.
Moving on to number two, I think is obvious. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
Another movie about giant robots blowing things up.
Yep, the new trailer is out this week. It is big, it is massive, it is CGI infested, it is Michael Bayified, it is awesome.
And
I'm sorry, it's awesome.
Here's one thing I got to say about, two things I have to say about the first trailer that was out that you can see in the movies all over the place now. First of all, he steals his own shots. There's literally shots from both Armageddon and Pearl Harbor. I don't know if he meant to do this, but they're like literally shot for shot, some shots that are exactly the same.
He just wants his visual style to be consistent.
Or completely exactly the same. But the other thing is, what makes that trailer so awesome is I think there's maybe 17 words of dialogue in the entire trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with the first Transformers, it was awesome. It was blowing things up. It was robots on crack until somebody opened their mouth and actually talked, including the robots.
Okay.
Because the worst.
So you're looking for maybe 30 lines of dialogue in the whole movie?
Yeah. If he just said, you know what, I'm going to take all the dialogue out, I'm going to make the movie 1 hour and 10 minutes, and it's just only going to be action scenes, I would be there and I'd watch it 3 times in a row. So I'd spend more time in the theater than having to sit through another Rose Garden moment where they trample the flowers. Oh, my bad.
Oh, geez, Kevin Carr.
Oh, geez, Neil Miller. You Michael Bay apologist. Did you get moving a ride on a giant robot? No, I got a ride in balloons.
Okay. Anyways, moving on to a movie that I've already seen. Star Trek is our number one most anticipated movie. And this has nothing to do with the fact that I've seen it. It's just like, we just think this movie's cool, man.
I can't wait to see it. It looks totally awesome.
And I can tell you from experience, it is just as cool as you would think it is.
I can't wait. You know what? Paramount sent me a hat, a Star Trek hat, because I was on TV, so I could talk about Star Trek.
You're such a whore.
I am a total whore. It's awesome. But yeah, I got a Star Trek hat. I think I'm gonna wear it to the when I go see the movie.
Oh, nice. You could be that guy. That's always good.
I'm not going to be the weirdest guy dressed. I mean, I think there's going to be people with Vulcan ears and Klingon faces and weird Wesley Crusher uniforms.
I see.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. Anyways, moving on. A couple special ones, movies you should look out for. You can check Film School Rejects for more of these. Moon from Duncan Jones and The Hurt Locker from Catherine Bigelow. Both very awesome movies coming out this summer.
And the ones I'm dreading, My Life in Ruins, looks terrible. And Imagine That with Eddie Murphy. Just
more Eddie Murphy. Sad face. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. It's time to get into this last segment. We've now reviewed all the movies we can. I mean, heck, we even went above and beyond to review Wolverine Through the Eyes of a Child.
Yes. And if you want to read Neil's review later when he sees it, you can
head over to Film School Rejects.
Another review from The Eyes of a Child.
Hey, awesome. Bah! But moving on, it's time for the
Blart.
World famous DVD roundup. And this week
I gotta get a real.
I know. I'm gonna go first again this week because, as always, Kevin has like 30 choices and I have 2.
Yes.
But we'll start with Hotel for Dogs, which I was going to just kind of. I got a copy and I was just gonna like put it on my shelf and forget about it.
Mm.
And then we decided to watch it here.
And then
at,
you're like, ooh,
Reject
Emma Roberts.
HQ.
She's like Miley Cyrus's age.
Emma Roberts is actually 18.
She is 18 now.
For the record.
Yeah.
We looked it up.
She actually looks, she's like turning into an attract, because when she was like 14, she looked really awkward.
She was kind of mousy. Yeah, but now she's, she's cute. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the movie itself was very heartwarming, and if you like dogs, this one is a great dog people movie, and it's not like Marley and Me. It's not the dog movie that's going to make you bawl your eyes out at the end. It's just kind of a fun dog slash kids movie, so I liked it.
Well, if you listened and to then, last week's show and you heard the segment where my kids reviewed it, they basically said it has dogs and piles of dog poop. And I'm like,
yeah,
is that
piles of dog poop is usually a pretty good selling point for
six-year-olds. Recipe for a great movie? Apparently it is.
It could be. My other pick, my big pick of the week is Star Trek, the original series.
On Blu-ray.
Season one on Blu-ray. Ooh. It is fantastic. They have some reworked visual effects that are amazing.
Well, let me ask you this. Are the visual effects, is it like antiquated 1960s and then suddenly super wicked cool awesome special effect?
No, it looks and it feels it. At one point, I actually fooled FSR's managing editor, Cole Bias. We were watching it and he sat up at one point and is like, dude, these effects are amazing. When was this made? And I was like, oh no, these effects were done recently.
You know, I have to say, how you just quoted Cole Bias sounded exactly, that was the best impression of Cole Bias I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, thank you.
You literally did it exactly how I'm like picturing him saying it, and you're like, you got all the inflections.
Awesome.
So good for you.
I'm getting better at it.
Whoop.
Anyways, so, moving on to your picks.
Yeah, well, Hotel for Dogs, I got it. Actually, they sent me a dog chew toy with that, which
is
awesome.
Yeah, we got that too.
Did you
get
that too?
We gave it to our friends. Dog.
I'll show a picture of it because we have a dog, and so we'll give it to her.
Aww.
But other ones that are out, The Uninvited is on DVD and Blu-ray. It's okay. It's a decent horror movie if you like sort of like that. It's a Korean movie that's gotten remade. What's nice about the Blu-ray is the special features. The limited special features they have are also in HD, which is cool because they don't always do that. Bride Wars, actually, it's interesting. I got sent the DVD and then I got sent the Blu-ray. And the Blu-ray, they're doing now what Disney is doing, where it's packaging the Blu-ray with the standard DVD and digital copy. So it's like this 3-disc set. So you know what? If you want to see that movie, you got kind of the whole package there. And you can transfer to Blu-ray. You can buy your DVD, and then when you upgrade sometime in the future to Blu-ray, you also have it on Blu-ray.
Right.
But there's also the Looney Looney Bugs Bunny movie. You know, who doesn't love Bugs Bunny? Did you watch that yet?
I have not. Not yet.
It's
We're very into Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
Here at the headquarters of Film School Rejects.
That's right. Well, you know what? It's another Warner Brothers release with more Bugs Bunny cartoons, and I love Looney Tunes. But what has to top the animation bag is American Dad Volume 4.
Of course.
American Dad's a great show. I actually like it better than Family Guy because I think it's not just throwing tons of pop culture references at you, which are still funny. Mm-hmm. It's a little more irreverent. And my favorite character is Roger, the alien.
Right.
This season has by far the best James Bond spoof ever. It's called Tearjerker, and it's a James Bond like mini movie, but like starring Stan Smith as James Bond and Roger's Tearjerker the villain. It is an awesome James Bond spoof, but the rest of the show is great too. It's American Dad. It's awesome.
I believe it.
Yes.
Nice. And what are we on? Stinkers?
Stinkers. Well, the only really stinker, because there's some movies that are decent that if you like that kind, if you like chick flicks, Bride Wars is good. If you like horror films, The Uninvited maybe. There wasn't a whole lot of total stinkers, but I did find one. That would be the Barbra Streisand concert collection, because it's just nothing but like 3 hours of BS.
I see. BS is in Barbra Streisand.
Oh my word! You are so slow in the uptake. Oh my word!
Anyways,
heavens to Betsy.
Moving on. Review wrap up the two movies that we actually reviewed in the show. Battle for Terra. Kevin said
it rocked,
and I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
Girls of
Ghostfriends
Ghosts
Past.
Of Girlfriends Past.
That one kind of rocked for the chick flick.
Right, and then we urge you to consult our online reviews for Wolverine to get our real opinions.
Yes.
And next week, we've got a big week. We've got Next Day Air, which I know Kevin is super excited about. And
well,
of
actually,
course,
Film School Rejects is giving away passes to them. They may be all gone
now. We are. So check out the site for that. Also, the most anticipated movie of the summer so far.
This little independent film.
Star Trek, directed by J.J. Abrams. I'm very excited.
Yes.
In the meantime, If you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. Get us on iTunes to search Fat Guys the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or if you'd like to give us a call, 614-388-8735. Until then, we urge you to live long and prosper.
Ooh. So sexy.